Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest names in the business are friends of the program here on You Better You Bet.
The great Ian Eagle.
Nick and Femi are such close friends. I would even consider getting divorced, even though I'm very happily married, just to get remarried, to have them as groomsmen. That's how much they mean to me.
Hey, everyone, it's Brian Anderson of TNT Sports, and you are listening to the great Rick and Jimmy. And these two are such close friends. And Nick and Femi. Better bet. You should bet. No, you better bet now. Better. You better you bet. Nick and Femi, you better you bet. My favorites.
This is You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
The tremendous Football Thursday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Costos, Femi, Bebefe, the crew, and you. So I like that, but like, what about Kevin Harlan and Joe Buck? Like, what's the, like, Bill, is the plan to have like rotating opens? Is that what we're thinking? Femi, is that the plan or?
I'm guessing that's what the plan is. Bill says we have two versions, is what he put in the chat. So yeah, maybe We'll spice it up so it doesn't get stale. I like that.
Do you think it's stale?
No. Well, I mean, it's like if you hear the same one every single day and like you add on Brian Anderson and let's say we add on something else, like all of a sudden now we're going 90 seconds for the open, you know? Mix it up.
So we have Buck and Harlan is one, and then we have, that's Brian Anderson and Ian Eagle. That's good stuff.
I think it's phenomenal. I'm excited to hear the other one. Yeah. I mean, like obviously we've heard Buck and Harlan, but yeah.
So Addy wrote something in our chat, and like I have to put my hand up here. Addy wrote that I trapped you because when you said like it's stale, I was like, do you think the open's stale? This is literally like, I'm just telling you, like, this is an exaggeration of what I'm about to say because it's obviously not true when I say it. My wife hates me.
Welcome to the club.
Like, she doesn't, yes, like, I think every husband in the world can say that. It's true to some degree. Like, my wife does not hate me. Like, my wife loves me. I love my wife to pieces. But, like, that's the kind of thing, as soon as I said it to you, I was like, when I say things like that to my wife, we've been together for 7 years now, she doesn't even, like, answer me anymore. Because she's like, I see what you're doing here. Like, you have trapped me here, and there's, like, no way out of this. And I literally did that to you. And I would just like to apologize because I put you in an impossible spot where you said that the open's stale. And I go, really? You think the open's stale? Like, I do that to my wife and she might actually hate me. It's possible that she actually hates me.
She hates you, but she loves you as well. that's what it is, which is perfectly normal. You know, with someone for many years, every single day, like, you know, you're going to hate them and love them. Which is, it's healthy. It wouldn't be healthy if it was just all love. It's like, okay, like, I'm clearly a flawed human, as we all are, but yeah, you know.
How long have you been with your wife for?
We met in 2017, so 8 years. Yeah, summer 2017.
How long would you say, like, I guess we can call it the honeymoon phase. Like, how long did the honeymoon phase last for in your relationship?
Probably until the first Valentine's Day. So yeah, Valentine's Day 2018, when I screwed that up, that's when it was like, she was like not happy with me. And I was
What'd you do?
I didn't acknowledge it. I was like, Valentine's Day, whatever. And like that's like a busy time during the.
Are you an idiot?
I was like, Femi. This is like a made up holiday. I mean, I was single for many years. I thought it was a made up holiday.
Femi, yeah. Even Tyler's ragging on you, and he's right, dude. That is, hey, that's so bad. Like, it's I love you. I'm not trying to be a jerk here. So bad, dude.
It was. I acknowledge. I messed up, but like that was like when the honeymoon phase ended, when like the infatuation and all that, like John Legend said, we're past the infatuation stage. Like that's where that ended. It was like, okay, like now I'm like actually under some fire here, but no, like, yeah, I would say like 6-7 months or so.
However long or short you want. How did you guys do during COVID together?
Actually did pretty well because we still had to go into our jobs. Obviously, like, we were social. Yeah. So it was like kind of
World shut down. But listen, like the news doesn't stop.
Gotta
find out how Eastern Washington did last night in college basketball. Like risk your life in a global pandemic to come in here and tell us how have they broken ground on the new arena for the Seattle Kraken yet?
I mean, literally, that's what we're talking about. It's like, here's Seattle Kraken. Are the Seahawks going to have a season? You know, what's going on with the Sounders? Are they able to play? Yeah, we were in Seattle, and she was a producer for the 11 o'clock news, and I was at the ABC station. She was at the NBC. So, like, we were still going in every single day. Obviously, it wasn't fun, like, the weekends. Like, we wouldn't be able to go anywhere, and, like, we lived in, like, a 550-square-foot apartment because, like, Seattle's expensive as hell. But, yeah, like, we actually made out pretty well. Like, we did not feel like we were living on top of each other, like some couples did, but yeah, for the most part, we were fine.
That was, so we started dating, my wife and I, in early 2019, and I would think COVID was the first time it was like, you know, maybe life isn't all sunshine and roses. I remember we had an argument over, because she will still throw it in my face that, like, you were basically, like, I was way too cautious during, and as it turns out, like, the world was not coming to an end.
Yeah, so we my were both very was, cautious.
Yeah. Yeah, well, my thing was and is, and I actually still hold that I'm right. And if you want to speak like you wanna like you comment on things faxed ? Like, God bless you. Just hear me out on this. So my thing with COVID was at the beginning, like you have no idea how bad this is.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's true, and obviously, as more information presents itself, like, then you can change your mind, right? And you can be, like, a little more cavalier about things. As it turns out, the world's not going to come to an end and everyone's not going to die. But at the beginning, if you don't know how bad it is, there's another Breaking Bad line, then perhaps the best course of action should be to tread lightly. And my wife was a little more cavalier, like, I think it's going to be okay. And as it turned out, it was. But what I would say to her is you didn't know that.
You don't know.
You thought but you didn't know. Now I'm arguing with my wife and she's not even here. Just in case anyone wants to know, like, what's marriage like? This. Yeah, I wouldn't change everyone it for the world.
We're wiping down packages and like the whole thing, like I remember like that whole week, like I was washing my hands extra, like because usually like you wash your hands after you eat, after you use, I mean my hands were raw. Like, how many times are washing your hands? Like, yeah, you just step outside for a fresh air, it's like, oh, I need to wash my hands and do all this. It's like, man, it was a lot, but yeah, we made it out, thankfully. I mean, obviously, like, it was a tough, like not everybody did, which was obviously, that sucks, but yeah, it was.
I like you just like snuck that in there to like the million people that died. Like, sucks for you.
I'm just saying. Like, I don't want to make light. Like, oh, we made it out all good. Like, knowing that not everyone did.
Of course. Yeah. Yes. I'm sometimes like, did that all? Did it? Obviously, it did. It's like, it feels like a fever dream that actually happened. And yeah. When I had COVID in 2020, I still came in every day to do the show. Credit to me. I would have fever dreams and I was like shaking every single night. But you know what?
It's not
I did
fun.
The show because I'm a psycho.
I didn't get it till January 2022. COVID.
Oh, I got
like,
it.
For some reason, like during COVID, I was.
Okay, how's this? I want a question for the crew. How many times do you think you've all had COVID? Like, I know for sure that I had it once. How many times do you think we've all actually had COVID?
I know one for sure when COVID, when it first, like the NBA shut down and all that, I was sick. So like, I didn't go into work that weekend. I don't know if I had COVID or I just had like a bad like coincidence or whatever, but for sure one, I did test positive, but that was like once we moved to Vegas and stuff in January, 2022.
How many times do you think you've had COVID though? How many times do you think you've had it? If you had to guess, like set a market.
I mean, if you put the over under at 2.5, I'd still take the under. I think it was like maybe a couple times.
I feel like I've had to have it more than once. Like, is it possible that I haven't had it since 2020? It's been 5 years.
I mean, you could be asymptomatic, as we learned. Like, some people just don't show anything, and it's all gravy. I'm assuming if you were out and about. I mean, like, were you out and about in the streets? Like, when did you go back outside? Was that like 2021?
When I had COVID? Oh no. Oh, when did I? Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I was going. Like when I got vaccinated, I was like going out to restaurants like as much as I could. It's like I'm still going out to wear masks and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Like maybe one of those times you might have caught it, but it was not fun. Actually, I think it was this past summer when we were moving. I got rid of all of my masks. I'm hoping I don't ever need them ever again because I don't have them anymore. But yeah, when we were moving, I was like, hey, I don't need this. Let's move into our new home.
Addie had COVID last week apparently, and she was still showing up to. Well, I guess she wanted to work. We were like, Addie, just like take the day off.
That's right. Yeah, she had to.
Yeah.
The Addie Bates flu game or COVID game.
Addie Bates flu game. All right. You bet on this Thursday. Also, it's my daughter's 18th. She was born 18 months ago today. She's a year and a half old. Happy birthday to her. Just wanted to say that.
Happy 18.
What do you got for us, Femi? We don't have to play the terrible imaging if you don't want. You can however you want.
We got some stuff, but I do want to play the imaging just because like we have, let's dress it up here on a Thursday. Right. It's week 10, second half of the NFL season starts today. So Jake, we got a lot of stuff that we have to get to. Go ahead and kick us off here as we tackle all the happenings from throughout the world of sports.
We've scanned the globe. Oh. We've searched near and far. We've found the best of the best. And now You Better You Bet brings you Things.
Honestly, like that voice could end marriages.
What about the other voice of main thing? What about that?
No, but the Brad Evans voice makes me want to like contract COVID. Like I'd like to like I'll go like lick doorknobs circa 2020.
What are you doing? I'm trying to get work off.
Hold on. Jake, can we stop and play it again? Can we play it again? I want to hear. Hold on. Yeah. I'm trying to think of like what's the best thing she, man, it was all good. We've scanned the globe. Yeah, we have. Jake, can you play it again? Please.
We've scanned the globe.
Yeah.
We've searched near and far.
Oh,
we found the best of the best. And now You Better You Bet brings you Things.
That's good stuff. Way better. Way better than Russ and Brad. Good stuff. All right, Femi, what do we got?
All right, let's go ahead in with the first topic that we have. Jake, what's up first?
The main thing.
Hello. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. The main thing in the National Football League this week actually happens on Monday with Monday Night Football between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay, a 2.5-point favorite over at BetMGM. Totals 44.5. We'll talk about this game, obviously, today, tomorrow, on Monday. Hell of a game. Nick, how do you feel about this game and your handicap for Monday Night Football? Best Monday Night game of the year so far.
I can't wait for it. Let me ask you a question, and then I will answer your question. What do you think the games, and obviously, like, we need to see what the injury reports are going to look like. It's a Monday game, so today's basically Wednesday for that game, right? The first day of injury reports. Mm-hmm. So, assuming, like, health on both sides for the principals, where do you think this game closes?
I think we hang out here at 2.5. And okay. I'll answer your question from yesterday, because you asked me, like, what do you think people are going to want to bet? Who are they going to pick? I was watching Get Up earlier today. They had like four panelists, three of the four picked Philadelphia. I think that's going to kind of be where we're at with this game based on what Green Bay did.
Because you answered Green Bay yesterday. Oh, no, you answered Philly yesterday on the show as well.
Said Philly,
you
did, yeah. Yeah, I said Philly, yeah. Cause like, just because, like, I mean, they just lost to the Carolina Panthers and the Eagles. We all know what they can do in the run game. So, yeah, I think that's kind of where we're going to be headed. We're not going to get to three because of that sentiment with a very, very good Eagles team. So,
and
I think we're
going to
hang
three,
out here under field.
It would bounce right back even if it went up to three.
Immediately. Yeah.
Okay. yeah, I'll be really square. I'm gonna like the Eagles.
Hey. Yeah. I could easily win the game.
I think they're. How about this? I just trust the Eagles more than I trust the Packers right now. And here's the thing, right? Jake, what is it? Here's the what?
The main thing.
Like, Jake, did you short circuit, buddy? Like, I mean, I teed that up for you, man. that was like Kobe to Shaq in Game 7 against the Blazers in 2000. The Packers have the ability, like, the Packers could lose this game by 20, or they could win by 20. Like, if Green Bay plays its best game, they could absolutely win this game. But for me, Femi, it comes down to trust. And I trust the Eagles, and I love Jordan Love, and you know I love Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. But I trust Jalen Hurts more than I trust Jordan Love. I'm going to like the Philadelphia Eagles coming up on Monday night. I think you disagree.
Yeah, we'll be Oppo Taco. I'm going to like the Green Bay Packers. For some reason, I trust them in this spot. I trust them against really good opponents. I trust that they'll show up. Like, I stepped into it last couple of Sunday nights ago against Pittsburgh. They were locked in for that game. We saw what they did in the second half. I think in this moment with everyone watching, especially coming off an embarrassing loss, I think Green Bay shows up and shows out. I think the Packers win and cover this number.
Yeah, I could see it for sure. Like, Eagles won't be one of my favorite bets. Correct. And then you could get where Green Bay wins big. Is it if you like Green Bay? Would you bet alts with Green Bay or no? Or you just want to lay 2.5?
It's not the worst idea. Because
I think if the game's close, the Eagles are going to win. I think if it's close, the Eagles will win.
I agree with that. Yeah. They're a mentally tougher team.
And you love the Packers preseason in the NFC, and I love the Eagles, so both of us are sticking with our priors here. On the other side, we'll get bets for the college football weekend with our good pal, pro sports bettor, Joey Kanish.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hand it off, Marshall again. Left side, huge hole. Marshall's gone. A house call at the big house. Hand it off, Marshall bleeding his way towards the 5. And he snuck through. Touchdown, Michigan.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Big Ten Network, courtesy of the call. You know, I bet Michigan to make the college football playoff. They're not going to make it. I don't think so, at least. It kind of sucks. Do you think they could?
Chance.
Well, we got to beat Ohio State.
Yeah, it's all out there in front of them. It's a tough hill to climb.
It's all out there in front of them in the same way, like, it's all out there in front of, like Merrimack to win the college basketball national championship. Yes, it's all out there in front of them. Like, it was all out there in front of single Nick Costos at 21 years old to try and someday date Jennifer Lopez. It was all out there in front of me. It's all
your destiny.
Yeah. It's all there. Like a choose your own adventure book. Turn to page 69 and go home alone. Turn to page 420 and don't get laid for the rest of the year. So all the options were awesome. 20 minutes from now, we'll talk some NBA. Rob Mazzola, Jay Croucher next hour. All our bets for tonight in the world of sports at the end of the show. And remember to tell us your bets for Thursday Night Football, Broncos and Raiders, YouTube, Twitch, and on Twitter as well, at the Costos, at Femi Abebefe, at You Better You Bet. But joining us right now, a Michigan man himself, with college football bets for this weekend, the one, the only, the great, the entertaining, the legendary, Joseph Kanish, on Twitter at JoeyKanish22, co-host of Hit the Books, an awesome college football betting video show and podcast. You can watch it on YouTube, just search Hit the Books, and the same in podcast form. Kanish, welcome back to the show. Happy Thursday.
Gentlemen, tremendous football Thursday, and no place, no place I would rather be than on YBYB with you two mugs. What's happening?
Oh, mugs. Yeah, I like how we've suddenly transported back to, like, 1920s. Yeah, see? I'm here with these two mugs, see? You dirty rats. Knish, will Michigan make the college football playoff?
Yes. And you know why? Because I've been... And listen, I know I came on the show last week. I know me and Femi, you know, sauced up Penn State. I know Ohio State buried them. I know all the logic says Ohio State's going to end the streak and bury them this week. If you think I'm coming on these airwaves and then telling everybody that, no, Nikki K was right all along, Ohio State's best team in the country, this is what it's going to be. No, no. I don't know how they're going to do it. I know Michigan's beat up. I know that. But come to Ann Arbor, that last weekend in November, baby, there's just something magical. Something's in the air. Something, the Harbaugh team is still there, even though he's not the coach anymore. Michigan beats them and goes to the Big Ten championship. Ohio State stays home and Michigan makes the playoff. I wouldn't bet that. That's not financial advice, though.
The Wolverines plus 725 at BetMGM to make the playoff. To your Knish's point, though, like, I mean, I don't know what it is. Something's in the air whenever these two teams play. Michigan seems to get the better end of them. All right, let's stay in the Big Ten, though, Knish, because there's a pretty big game out in Iowa City between Oregon and Iowa. Looking at the betting market right now, the Ducks about a 6.5-point favorite over at BetMGM, total 41.5. Should Oregon be on upset watch, or is this a mismatch when you look at it on paper?
This has got to be the most fascinating game of the week. And I love it because it's two totally different styles. It's, you know, an Iowa team that was so bad early in the year, and now the last few weeks has looked like they got a little something to say in terms of, like, being a, you know, a upper-level team in the Big Ten. An Oregon team that, you know what, as the whole the body of work, you know, you start tracing back to the Indiana game, even the Penn State victory. It's like, it looks a little sketchy here. I got to tell you, and this was one that I think, again, lower total, number is so key. It's on 6.5 right now. If I saw a 7 pop, and I said this on our, you know, hit the books this week. If I saw a 7 pop, I'm in. I'm a buyer. I'm going to be greedy here, though, and hope a little bit of steam comes in on Oregon and I can grab one of those 7. Market 6.5, just need a little bit of game day steam. But I think the number is so key here, especially for an Iowa team that you know how they play. They want to play ugly. They want to punt. They want to, you know, throw for 50 yards and somehow find a way to beat you. At 7, I'm in, but I'm going to be greedy and wait for the number because I think with this style of game, this low total, you got to get every half point you can get here. It's a buy on 7 for me, a pass anything under.
Yeah, and once again, that total 41.5 out there at Iowa City there. And like we've seen really good teams go there and get beat. A really good Ohio State team a few years ago went there and got beat. How about the game where College Game Day will be located in Lubbock? With BYU and Texas Tech, biggest game to date in the Big 12. Red Raiders, 10-point favorites, total 52.5. Any betting interest here between BYU and Texas Tech?
You know, this is one, I got to tell you, circled a few weeks ago that, like, okay, let's get BYU exposed, fraud, don't think they're going to. And then, you know, a couple of things, Texas Tech starts getting a little beat up. A few guys on the defense injured, you know, a quarterback, some quarterback injury. Baron Morton, you know, I know he's going to be back this week. Will Hammond's out for the year. Morton is always a regular, like, has the guy made it through, I don't know, half 50% of his games that he started in his career. And it's a BYU team that I think some of the results early in the season were very fortunate, but they start to now the level of play is kind of matching the record here. It's one for me. I got to tell you, if there's a way I played this in terms of financially, it was under. It was, you know, 51.5. There's some 52.5 out there. Played some under. On the side, as much as I wanted to get to Texas Tech here, that the number's just not there for me. At 10.5, it would actually be more of a BYU lean. I think it's one that if I want to get on some Texas Tech, I would look to hopefully jump in live. Maybe you get a BYU score for it. It just, as far as lane, I think Texas Tech wins. I can't get to the number, though, as far as that and laying that price.
This is You Better You Bet. Nick Kostos, Femi Abebefe, hanging out with Joey Knish, part of the Hammer HQ Professional Sports Better, breaking down the college football card for Week 11. Let's go to the SEC, Knish, because we have A&M in Missouri, Texas A&M, a team that, like, starting to get a lot of buzz as one of the best in the country. Like, I had them in that tier right below Alabama and Ohio State as one of those top-tier national title contenders. Aggies laying 7, though, on the road against Mizzou and Eli Drinkwitz, total 48.5. What do you like between the Aggies and the Tigers?
You know, if Missouri, either one of their quarterbacks healthy, I think you could talk me into a full 7 here with a true freshman and a Texas A&M team that I think might be the best team in the SEC, even though they're not the favorite, even though they don't have the same record as Alabama. I think overall, player to player, I think Texas A&M would be the team that I take to win the conference at the moment. I laid it with the Aggs here. I know Missouri, you know, they're good at going slow tempo. They're good at uglying it up. They run the football in the trenches and that. I just don't think they're going to have enough. You know, Bo Pribula, he gave them that extra little bit of thought when it came to, like, even though the passing game wasn't great, he could make something happen with his legs. He could give you a little bit of explosive, like, plays with the legs. He's not that type of quarterback. He's more of a pocket guy, pocket passer. I just think A&M's got too much for him here. And I think Missouri, probably a bit overvalued, even though the record is, I think they've been fortunate in a few games. Give me A&M. I think they lay it here. Just think there's too much.
Bama coming off of the bye, 10-point favorites against LSU. Total sitting at 49.5. LSU, of course, fired Brian Kelly. Is this the dead cat bounce spot? Can the Tigers cover against the Tide, or does Alabama kind of put them out of their misery and run away with this game?
I tell you what. If you've ever followed maybe 30 seconds of Brian Kelly's career, much less 10 or 15 years, much less every story that's ever come out on him, plus probably even his own family. If there was ever, and I'm going Joey New Narrative straight here, if there was ever a fired coach bump in the history of dead cat bounce fired coach bumps, this has got to be the spot. There was electric players on the team coming out and saying, like, oh, my God, there's a litany of ex-players and LSU program people that are like, oh, thank God this guy's out. If there was ever a moment that you're like, this has got to be the best effort that we get from this team this year, it's this spot, LSU against Bama, you know, like, you know, type of rivalry game. Kelly's out. You've got a more of a local guy now as a coach who the players love. I just think, you know what, numbers-wise, throw it out. Give me LSU. Give me the points. And I think they got a shot. I know their offensive line is a disaster. I just think they got a shot here to make this interesting. Wouldn't be surprised if this is a one-score game in the fourth quarter and maybe LSU pulls this outright.
Absolutely love it. Knish, Indiana, 14.5 at Penn State. Pretty interesting betting market given what Ohio State was against Penn State recently. Feels like this is a huge number here. Am I crazy for liking Penn State a little bit at more than 2 touchdowns at home?
You know what? I think you even saw it a little bit last week against Ohio State, right? That first half, they're still playing hard. They're still battling. The defense was better. And then second half, you know what? The better team ends up winning out, and you get a little bit of roll there. Once they let go of the rope, they really let go of it. I'm with you. I'm over 2 touchdowns here. It's an Indiana team that's not as talented as Ohio State, and you get Penn State at home in an environment where I think they'll be much more comfortable with the younger quarterback. An Indiana team, like, you are fan, and I know, again, we always do the look ahead lines aren't everything here, but this was 11.5 on the look ahead, and now you're going across another key to get you 2 touchdowns. I thought Penn State deserved to cover last week. I think this week, I'm going back to the well with you. Give me over 2 TDs in a game where I think Penn State can slow it down, ugly it up, and do enough here to where I don't think they can win, but 2 TDs at home with a Penn State team that I think, again, still very talented, still defense playing. Like, I think the team is still playing hard. Give me the Nittany Lions to at least keep it close.
Knish, when the college football playoff rankings came out this past Tuesday night, obviously, like, that this is not what the playoffs going to be. Like, there's a lot of games left to be played, conference championship games, etc. But when you looked at the rankings, and you cover the sport as close as anybody, and I mean that not just from a betting perspective, you're obsessed with college football. When you think about betting the college football playoff, like, what are some things you're hoping you get come playoff time that you're looking forward to betting? If that question makes sense and you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I would say just first off, I think any question about Notre Dame, if they win out, getting left out is done. Like, Notre Dame is in. If they win out, they're in, and they're the team that we've talked about a few times on the show is the most dangerous. I think any type of, like, uncertainty of, like, oh, my God, you know, could the ACC scoop a couple bids and get them out? No. There's just no way this committee and this key television product is leaving Notre Dame if they would like the slate. That's the first one. The second one is potentially, you know what, getting a couple of matchups of teams that I think, you know, could get in but be a little overvalued. One being the aforementioned Oregon, who we just talked about. Another one being a Georgia team that I think is probably living off a little bit more brand reputation than they are substance. Another one might even be Alabama, who we just talked about in there. And, you know, it's like if this playoff started today, I know it doesn't, but those would be three teams that I think are what I'll call ranked higher than what I think they're actually in terms of where I put them in tiers. I think we've talked about it's Ohio State and then everybody else. So to me, if you're getting, we've kind of gotten a big flattening of the sport, right? Where there's not really, you know, there used to be 1, 2, 3 teams and then, you know, 2 touchdown under then the rest. Right now it's, you probably got Ohio State, you know, at least, 3-4 points better than anybody else. But you go through that, you know, 2 through 12, and there's not much of a spread anywhere in there. So to me, I think the potential might lie in getting a few of the old established names versus some teams that might be, you know, new to the college football playoff, getting a little bit too much respect. That's how I see. Again, we got to see how it plays out. Got to see who it gets in. I'll probably be looking to play on a team like a Texas Tech or that's getting into the playoff where normally you would say Big 12 SEC going to be a laugher. I don't think so anymore because I don't think the difference between these teams is so significant. So that would be the one angle we're seeing as we're going into the playoff that we'll see how, well, again, we'll see how the numbers go, see how the lines play out. But in the past, I would say no way am I ever touching a BYU, a Texas Tech, a Notre Dame, that type of game against our SEC power. I don't think the SEC powers are really that powerful anymore. We'll put it like that.
I have to be honest. I said last hour that, you know, I think BYU is going to keep it close against Tech. And next week, we're all going to be saying that we don't trust any Big 12 school in a college football playoff game. I thought you just made a really compelling argument where, given the matchup, maybe you would actually like one of those Big 12 schools against an SEC team. I thought that was really excellent, and I mean that sincerely. Hit the Books is the show with Kanish and Brad Powers. You can find it in podcast form. You can find it on YouTube as part of the Hammer Betting Network, and he is on Twitter at JoeyKanish22. We appreciate you, my friend. Good luck with the bets.
Gentlemen, best of luck this week. See you soon.
Joey Kanish joining us here on You Better You Bet. On the other side, let's talk some NBA. A little Luka, a little Victor Wembanyama, a little bit of Wemby in my life.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Doncic looking. Castle right with him. Doncic a three. Puts it in! Luka Doncic from downtown. And the Lakers' first lead of the fourth quarter.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
My fellow Fordham Ram, Mike Breen on the call last night. What a game between the Lakers and the San Antonio Spurs. Luka and company winning 118-116 and thus covering the spread. For those of us that bet the Lakers, like me. We'll talk about last night in the NBA in a second. We want to tell you, our listeners and viewers, to go for the end zone without breaking a sweat. With today's Pro Football No Sweat token, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets if your wager doesn't win. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and please gamble responsibly. And don't forget to download and subscribe to You Better You Bet in podcast form. You can check out the whole show, anything you might have missed, including Femi's Hour, where he talked about the bet he made for NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. Search You Bet wherever you find your podcast. And check us out on YouTube and Twitch as well. Okay. So the Lakers take care of business last night, beat the San Antonio Spurs. And, you know, I'll pat myself on the back when things go well and tell you when things go poorly, like this past Sunday in the NFL was really not great. But I did nail the handicap last night of the Lakers and the Spurs. What I said was, and we'll start with the Lakers, but just need to say this as far as the game goes. The Lakers saw what the Suns did on Sunday defending Victor Wembanyama. And I said this in the Power Hour yesterday when I was handicapping the game. The way that Phoenix, which is not going to be confuse anyone with like the bad boy Detroit Pistons as far as defensive intensity goes, but the way the Suns defended Victor Wembanyama this weekend that led to Wemby's worst performance of the year, and the Spurs' first loss of the year, which was to constantly, as soon as he gets the ball, double him and do like the E. Honda from Street Fighter and just like you move your hand really fast and just hit him as many times as you can before the referee blows his whistle and hope that the whistle doesn't get blown. And as an aside on that for Wemby, I'm curious how this is going to turn out, where it's almost like Wemby, and he's not as big as, I was going to use a word that's really bad, that rhymes with quick. He's not as big as Shaq was. I'll say it. Thick. As Shaquille O'Neal was. But it kind of feels like Wemby, in the same way that Shaq would get officiated a little differently, where Shaq was so big, so thick, that he wouldn't be able to get away with stuff that smaller centers were. And he would get absolutely like the crap beaten out of him, and fouls wouldn't get called. And it would be, well, like, what are we supposed to do? Like, you're so big. So thick. Has Wemby entered that zone where, like, you can foul Wemby more than you could foul like other big men, and it's not going to get called? We're very early in the process here. But watching this game last night, like, Wemby's getting fouled, and like, it's not getting called. And I'm curious if that's going to be something that plays out moving forward. As far as the Lakers are concerned, I actually think this is the most impressive team in the league so far this season. And like, the Thunder have a better record, and bad night, by the way, for the Nick Kostos 70 agenda, the double 70, as the Thunder lose and the Brooklyn Nets win. And that was my NBA loss last night. I bet the Pacers and the Nets beat them outright. Tough scenes for your boy. Did go 2-1 last night in the NBA, but that was a terrible bet by me, as the Nets outright beat the Indiana Pacers. I think the Lakers' start to the season is as impressive as it gets, where LeBron hasn't played a game. Luka's missed time. Reeves has now missed time. And they don't miss a beat. It's like when Luka's the only one in the lineup out of the big three, he dominates. Same with Reeves. When he's the only one in the lineup, he dominates. And when none of them play, Nick Smith dominates. You might be asking yourself, who the hell is Nick Smith? I'll be honest, I have no idea. J.J. Redick, I was about to say organically. This is how you know, like, this line has jumped the shark. I was going to say, like, unironically, J.J. Redick might be him. I've got grays in my beard. Like, I shouldn't be saying things like this, but J.J. Redick might be him as far as NBA head coaches go. J.J. Redick is somehow both next and now. As a tip of the cap to the real ones, the listeners and viewers here on You Better You Bet. It's an unbelievable coach. Like, how else do you explain what this has been? How they've gotten to 7-2 without LeBron, Luka's in and out, Austin Reeves is in and out. It's incredible what they've done. And Luka's obviously magnificent last night. Luka is magnificent, and he looks like he's in way better shape. And Luka had 5 steals and 2 blocks last night, which shows you that he's giving a damn on the defensive side of the ball. Like, he's putting the effort in on defense. It's not just the points and the rebounds and the dimes for Luka. He's trying on defense. That's a credit both to him and to his coach, J.J. Redick. It's wild. It's not just Luka. Austin Reeves has been an absolute stud this year. They've gotten the job done here. Look at the box score of last night's game. Marcus Smart scored 17 points. What year is this? Ayton with 22. Jake LaRavia continues to play well for the LA Lakers. J.J. Redick is absolutely crushing it. Crushing it right now. And it's forcing me to have a conversation, right, with myself and with you, our audience. Because coming into the year, and even last week, I was saying on the show, the Lakers can't win the Western Conference. They can't win the NBA championship. So I think they should trade LeBron James. Which you might hear and go, oh, what a hot take. Like, saying it for clicks. Okay, like, I thought I explained it pretty well. Where if you can't win, and LeBron's contract is up after this year, and you've got two max guys in Luka and Austin Reeves, and Reeves is going to be a max guy after this year, then why would you keep LeBron if you're not going to win? Trade him and get some assets that you can use to build the team moving forward around Luka and around Austin Reeves. I think what's happened, though, thus far for the LA Lakers, and how well they've played, and how Redick has Frankenstein this all together, I think, like, you need to see how it looks with LeBron when he comes back. Is the Lakers' ceiling, probably not, right, to compete with the Thunder, but is the Lakers' ceiling, like, to be one of the very best teams in the West where you can actually say, come trade deadline time, like, yeah, like, let's roll the dice and see how this goes. And maybe we can compete with the Nuggets. Maybe we can compete with the Thunder. I still don't think they can, but I think if this is what it's going to be, then you at least have to see. You at least have to see. My best guess is that they are going to fall short of that. And I still think what's going to be in the best long-term interest of the Lakers is to move on from LeBron James and trade LeBron to a team that actually has a chance to win the championship this year, probably a team in the East. Maybe it's Cleveland. Maybe it's my Knicks. Who the hell knows? We'll see. But to give LeBron a chance to win a championship and recoup and get some assets that you can use to build this going forward. But even with that being said, that's a conversation for a couple months from now. What the Lakers have done thus far this season is absolutely incredible. Now, after the game, Victor Wembanyama did say in his post-game media that he knows now, like, this is how he's going to get defended. And he referenced the Suns game and how Phoenix defended him, how the Lakers basically defended him the same way. Like, teams are not focused now on having just their tallest guy on Victor Wembanyama. It's not that now. It's, we're going to flood body. We're going to send bodies to you. We're going to get you off your spot. We're going to foul you. We're going to make you uncomfortable. And Wembanyama fouls out of the game with a minute 40 to go. And Julian Champagne ends up shooting free throws at the end of the game. And when I see his name, all I can think about is the way Christopher Walken in that famous SNL series of skits says Champagne. That should be how you pronounce his name, but it's Champagne. And he misses the free throw, and then they don't get the rebound on the second miss. The Spurs will eventually figure it out. Like, how to, like, free Wemby of this, how to get Wemby going. And when Dylan Harper comes back and De'Aaron Fox is integrated, like, it's going to look way better than it's looked. But in the short term, I think Victor Wembanyama, like, points props will be fascinating. And the Spurs betting markets will be fascinating as well. Because it looks like, at least for the short term, there's a blueprint to slow down the great Victor Wembanyama. You better, you bet on this Thursday. Last note on the NBA for today. The Memphis Grizzlies lose last night by 15 at home to the Houston Rockets. And Houston has been so damn good this year. And, like, candidly, like, we need to talk a little bit about the Rockets at some point on the show. Kevin Durant only scores 11, and it doesn't make a difference because Amen Thompson scores 28 and Şengün scores 20. And I said before the year, Kevin Durant can't be the best player on the Rockets and the Rockets win the title. Amen Thompson needs to take that step. And Femi actually really likes Şengün to possibly take that step. Maybe it's both. Houston has been so impressive. But the story of that game is not the Houston Rockets. It's the Memphis Grizzlies, and it's Ja Morant. And Ja suspended, you know, last weekend for contract detrimental to the team because he gets called out by Tomas Isolo, the head coach of Memphis, who took over last year when they fired Taylor Jenkins with 9 games left in the season. And Isolo in his first year full-time as Grizzlies head coach. And Isolo comes from the European background, and he has said this publicly, where he believes that if someone is not giving maximum effort, everyone sees it, so we're going to call it out. And he calls Ja Morant out in front of the team, and Ja doesn't respond well, and they suspend Ja for a game. And then Ja says in his first game back, "Have you lost? Do you still have your joy?" And Ja says, "No." And everyone in the media wants to turn this into a Ja Morant thing, like Ja versus Isolo. Well, here's what I would challenge people to check out. Like, watch last night's game, or watch the highlights of the game, or just look at the box score. Jaren Jackson Jr., who is Memphis's other franchise player, took 6 shots last night in the game. 6. I want someone to watch the Memphis Grizzlies play and tell me that they all look disinterested right now. And maybe it's the new offense being implemented by Isolo, this read-and-react offense that the Heat are running also right now with Eric Spoelstra. Maybe they just don't know what they're doing. Or maybe none of them like the coach. Maybe that's what it is. I am not going to say that the Grizzlies need to fire Isolo way too early. And a lot of people that are really smart with basketball think he's really good. I am also not going to say the Grizzlies should just trade Ja Morant willy-nilly. Like, Ja's too good at his best. But they've got to figure this out. And now. And yesterday, they've got to figure this out. Because right now, to me, you watch this team play, it looks like they're pretty close to letting go of the rope. They're disinterested. The effort's not there. And when your best players don't give a damn, how do you think it's going to go the rest of the year for the Memphis Grizzlies? Final hour, Power Hour coming up next. We'll give you all our bets for Thursday Night Football. Jay Croucher of NBC Sports kicks it off.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.